Please join with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the season of Epiphany, a season in our church year where we celebrate the Word made flesh, where we celebrate that the darkness has been shattered by the light. We ask you to work in our hearts during this season, to remind us of the great gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that by your Spirit you would shape our hearts, that we might live in the gift each and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas is over. An epiphany has begun. And sometimes the way the church calendar falls, we often pass over, no pun intended, the important event of the wise men coming to give their gifts. When we think about it for a moment, this event is important in the life of the church because it reminds us that the gospel, the gift, the Word made flesh belongs not just to the Jewish people among whom he was born, but it belongs to the people of the world. For these wise men who come, and tradition says there were three, but the Bible only speaks of three gifts, not three men. It simply uses the plural. But they come from a foreign place. They're not Jewish. They're from what we would call, what they would call, the Gentile world. And they come to lay their gifts before the King of the Jews. Now, think for a moment. We all know the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were valuable gifts at their time and still in many ways are. But think of the preparations. They see the star. They have to ascertain what it's all about. They have to spend a lot of time, energy, and money putting together this trip to travel from what is modern-day Iran around the Fertile Crescent, if you remember that from school, all the way to Jerusalem to speak with Herod to find out where the Savior was to be born. They invested of their time and their treasures, their talent, to go to the unknown, to go to an uncertainty. You might say it's as if they were putting their trust in God to guide them. And he, as we know, certainly supplied a star. And if we look at the Gospel of Matthew, which is the only gospel that records the event of the Magi coming to see Jesus, we are told that they came to worship, giving the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh is worship. It's giving back to God because of the gift that he has given to us in Christ Jesus, his Son. We lose that aspect sometimes of worship. That even when we celebrate our own offering, it is an act of worship. Giving and returning to God the resources that he's entrusted to us. Giving back to God because he has first given to us. Today, we wind the clock a little forward in the life of Jesus. We don't know how the gifts of gold and frankincense were myrrh were used in his young life. We can only guess and surmise. But the next time we see Jesus is in the temple when his parents left him behind, and he's interacting with the religious leaders of the day, enlightening them with the word, opening up the scriptures to them in a way that they really haven't thought about them before. Following that, we see him in the Jordan River being baptized by John. This word made flesh. This word who forms our hearts and our lives, who gifts us with his presence in this world, who walks, who teaches, who lives, who breathes, who interacts with the very humanity and the fallen, sinful people that we are. A Savior who engages us with the clarity of the word of the gospel and calls us to faith and to understanding. As God gifted the world, as the wise men returned gifts to him in gratitude, God continues to gift us with the power of his word in the waters of baptism, in the Lord's Supper, that touch our life and draw us closer to his promises and who he is. It's interesting to me, on a personal side note here, that in the early church, many of the baptismal fonts, of the baptismal basins, were in the shape of a cross, connecting us to the power of God's gift of salvation, that Jesus comes to this world and dies in order that we might receive. See, the gift of baptism is connected to the gift of the cross. Paul reminds us that when we are baptized in the water, that we are buried with Christ and raised again to newness of life, and that baptism begins to shape and to mold us. You see, when we step back for a moment, we begin to see a multitude of gifts that God continues to pour out to us in our lives. See clearly that we are not unconnected from him, but connected intimately to him. Some of us perhaps have pictures in our photo albums similar to this that remind us that we too have been covered with the waters of baptism, that the sign of the cross was painted on our foreheads and on our hearts, that we have been adopted into the family of God, and that we too gather to worship him in gratitude for what he has given to us. And so when we gather for worship, our very gathering is an offering to our God, offering to him our hymns, our prayers, our songs, our confession, both of sin and of faith, offering to him things that he has entrusted to us, the treasures, the time, the talents, the energy to serve him in his kingdom, as a thank offering for what he has given to us. You know, the Christmas season is past, but one of the things that my family taught me to do when I was young was to sit down and write thank you notes. How many of you remember being taught that? How many of you hated doing that? How many of you still have that to do? We live our lives. We give of our talents, our time, our treasures. It's all a thank you note to God. It's a way of expressing to him our gratitude and our heartfelt thanks for this gift who was born as a baby and laid in a manger. For this gift that continues to work in our hearts and our lives by the Word and the sacraments. The light of lights who comes into this world continues to work in our hearts as God calls us children of light. But the greatest gift we know is when he goes to a cross where he's crucified for us. When the darkness on Good Friday tries to once again enshroud the world, but the light of resurrection overcomes and restores us into a good, right, and salutary relationship with God. The Word of God made flesh, walking among us and forming our hearts and our lives through the power of his Word. May he shape us and mold us to live in the waters of baptism. May he encourage us to be a thankful people, serving him with all of our life and our life's resources. May he work to move us from being enamored with the world to walking, living, and breathing in the light of his love, mercy, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.